Heavenly Father, I humbly beseech you to see before you a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, and a sinner of your own redeeming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I grew up in a home where my father held theological court. Thanksgiving and Christmas, with all the family gathered around, were the high holy days of this examining chaplain's life. The divinity of Jesus, did Jesus know that he would be raised from the dead? The reality of miracles, the possibility of real physical healing, they were all up for grabs and all up for debate. And you were expected to ask good questions and to know your Bible. Chris, he would say, reaching over the turkey, how many wise men were there? And we would answer, and he would say, wrong! That's not right. We don't know. And Patrick, he would say, Patrick, did Mary ride on a colt or a donkey? Now pass me the peas. This is what it was like. And coming to Thanksgiving dinner, to watch the Aggies and the Texans, well, think again. You were coming, so you better bring your Bible, and you better bring your wits. Because he had a brilliant mind. And I can tell you, I cut my theological teeth at our dining room table, dodging his frequent religious parries. So it is that I am grateful on this day that my mom asked me to talk. Because my dad always resisted letting anyone have the last word, especially his sons in general. His priest son in particular. And most of all, I can guarantee he never would have wanted the bishop to have the last word. So, aha, Dad, carpe diem, I am seizing the day. My dad, Charles Doyle, was an artist and a painter and a poet and a cook and a dramatist and a lot of drama. He was someone who loved the sappy music of Ed Ames. Oh my God, I didn't even look that guy up. And the poetry of E.E. Cummings, who can understand that? He loved to collect art. He appreciated both folk and the collectible kind. And there are files of his favorite Sunday morning cartoons that he clipped. For say, he just knew he would need them someday. He loved to read not only theology, but everything, including vampire novels. All of which he would work into sermons that would delight the imagination and offer vivid, layered, and thick stories from a rich and varied palette. He wrote and memorized short poems and would use these too. His favorite, which he used more than once and often recited to the rolling eyes of his three sons, was E.E. Cummings' Buffalo Bill's Defunct. So what would happen in the house is you would walk up to him and you say something like, hey, Dad, can we go outside to play? And he would say, Buffalo Bill's Defunct, who used to ride a water smooth silver stallion and break 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pigeons just like that. Jesus, he was a handsome man. And what I want to know is, how do you like your blue-eyed boy now, Mr. Death? I just want to go outside. Charles Doyle, though, was also a mystic. He believed in the earthiness of humanity and in the union of heaven and earth in the here and now. He believed that somehow out of that humanity, no matter how awful it was, sinful, broken, despairing, or dysfunctional, the miracle of God's love was possible and always triumphant. Moreover, that the work of our work was to live life well and to love life and to love God's people. Love is a mysterious gift, he wrote. to be received and to be given. Love cannot be attached to the mask which we present to the world. Love must be received within ourselves. The mask must be removed, and we must open ourselves both to receive and to give. And in so opening ourselves to someone, we're able to experience a newness, a freshness, a spirit that can only be known when two so real share the nakedness of their soul, their being, to one another. This ends in joy, excitement, hope, and in love, he said. Charles believed in loving the world, and in so doing, each small kindness would be a pebble in the kingdom of God. And he believed that as we did this work, sometimes weeping for the world and sometimes weeping for our pitiful selves, we would have hearts. We would have hearts, as the elder Zosima says in Brothers Karamazov, that we would have hearts that would grow soft with infinite, universal, and inexhaustible love. It was this love that he found in his wife, my mom, Sylvia Ann, and in his three sons, their families, and most of all, his grandchildren. But Dad also shared this love with his congregation and anyone he knew or worked with. He believed the world was changed by love, and he loved to the very end. Sure, Charles was a devoted youth minister in his time. Most often, the poorest, most disenfranchised neighborhood kids made up his youth group. He worked to help counsel people during the Vietnam War. He would pastor those who had not a friend in the world. He would bring people back from the dead when they thought that everything was lost. He would give his whole self over for the love of someone else. He was a civil rights advocate, and he would work for many years to support the ordination of women. Yeah, he did all of those things. But it was Dad's self-surrender to obtain unity with God and life, and so to discover the truths of love beyond all human understanding, that made him the family's mystic. He wrote, "God refuses to tie by string to self as like a puppeteer, but rather the string of being bound to the world to play out the ballad of life." Charles went out of his way to engage in that life and with those who were unengageable, believing that in the muck and mess of humanity, Jesus was present. He believed Jesus was present, and that you could find Jesus when you left your comfort zone and crossed over that self-imposed barrier that keeps the others out. I'll never forget this one time. We were walking. I don't really remember where we were going. And Dad left me waiting while he went off to visit with a man in ragged clothes beneath the bridge that we were passing by. My guess is that he probably ended up giving that man every cent that he had in his pocket. But what I remember is that he turned to me with my perplexed look of not understanding. He knelt down with tears in his eyes and he whispered, "I believe that man is Jesus." We'd seen Jesus, I thought. And conspiratorially, we walked on together, holding the greatest secret I knew, that we had seen Jesus. I believe my dad saw and met and talked to Jesus a lot. Now, my dad also enjoyed a good practical joke. Like cutting the bell rope at the Yale Divinity School so that they could all sleep in through chapel the next morning. which was only bettered by then convincing the juniors the following year that this was some kind of tradition that they had make sure happened. Or the time when he taped paper ties on the disciples and Jesus on the painted reproduction of Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper that hung in the dining hall of that Yale Divinity School because you weren't allowed to eat dinner without a tie. His most recent and often performed trick was to delight his grandchildren, called diving for treats, where he would put the dog treat at the bottom of the water bowl because he knew that poor dog would go in after it every time, causing a chorus of children's laughter and his own. My dad made up stories and he told lies. He built forts and bunk beds and riding horses. He once waited until the last moment and bought a Christmas tree for 50 cents that was over 13 feet tall that he had to cut the top off in order for us to decorate. And then for 3 decades told us how he had once bought a Christmas tree for 50 cents that was over 13 feet tall. He took us on adventures and camping and fishing, and he introduced us to friends, and he loved a good party, and he would laugh until he could not breathe. And he made a mess of things. What I know is that the more he loved God and Christ Jesus, the more he became aware of his own frailties and weaknesses and faults and sins. And the more that he believed on the last day that all things would be redeemed. I don't think that Charles Doyle understood how it all worked, yet he was fascinated by the mystery and the circus of it all. I think he believed God deeply loved and wanted to embrace the world, and I think that he believed that Jesus died a horrible death and understood our daily dying, and so would understand my dad's own. I think he believed that the resurrection of God was the most miraculous, mind-blowing, incredible reality that changed forever the trajectory of the human race. He was always an Easter man. And he believed that if you could love enough, that you could change the world. And after 46 years of life with Charles Doyle, my dad, I'm pretty sure that he was a heretic. And he was a saint. He loved the church and thought it should be better at doing Jesus' mission. He was a mess, but he was a glorious God-made mess, and he was our mess. And he was a lover of souls and a lover of God and God's people, and he loved us. So do not be troubled. Believe in God. Know that Charles is there. He is safe. He is full. He is happy. Know that there are many rooms. And one just for a heretic and saint like my dad. He's waiting with all of those who've gone before, all the other saints and sinners. He's waiting, and he does not want us to be troubled. But he would have hated that. He wants us to believe in God and to live. He would have hated this. He would have wanted us to be out living. And to love and to look for Jesus, no matter what it costs us. So, after all, he gets the last words. Life, Dad wrote, is not a philosophical dissertation or a theological presentation, but rather experiential living, he said. He would remind us, let us live our lives, he wrote. Let us share ourselves with others with the selfless outpouring of self as Jesus lived his own life. Too simple? I think not. He wrote, "It is enough to keep us all busy and alive. To have life and to have it abundantly." Life. He wrote, we need to be there. Continuing our lives through prayer and all of its living aspects. So let us celebrate life and carpe diem. He wrote, carpe diem. Seize the day in Jesus' name. Then there will surely be life. Life in abundance. And life in fullness. And with excitement and fun. And whatever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.